ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you with us. Hope you're doing very, very well this evening. As usual, of course, this is Red Ice TV. You're watching Flashback Friday because it is Friday, believe it or not, once again. It's a pleasure if you're joining us on DLive, VK, Twitter, maybe on redice.tv/live. However you're tuning in, it's always a pleasure to have you join us, spend some time with us as we go through some of the important news of the week. Of course, we have a big audience joining us on BitChute as well afterwards in the archives or on redicemembers.com as well. Guys, great to have you with us. Now, Lana couldn't join us today. We actually had a little bit of a run-in with the people are sick, right? That happens. People are sick. So we had two sitters, and we had a backup one as well who was out of town, so we couldn't make it. She had to be watching the little guy. But, of course, we actually managed last minute here, really, to get a good old friend to join us during the show, Millennial Woes. I think he's ready over there. I won't patch you in just yet, Woes, in case you're not in case you're not ready. Anyway, we'll introduce him in a minute. Actually, one thing I can do before we get to that, let me just mention quickly this, because I know some people were like, you know, once we were booted off of YouTube, they were like, oh, I can't get you on the TV anymore, and it's so complicated, and blah, 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 these kinds of things. So I was testing two devices yesterday, and I was actually going to do a short video about it, but I can mention it now at the beginning here. So it's a Chromecast. Now, get me wrong, I don't like Google, but this is one way. You can do a Fire Stick, which is Amazon's product. Don't like Amazon either. But the fact is, these do work. A Roku works as well. However, you're you know, using that. If you have an Android, if you have an iPhone, both of these work. So I think what was my notes here? So you can do Android with a Chromecast, or with Chromecast. You're connected to the same network. You can't. One weird thing is you can't use the Chromecast or the cell phone, I should say, like the cell phone data to connect and like you know, use that to kind of stream something. You actually have to be connected to like a local network, a Wi-Fi that you have. And then with your phone, I think it's Bluetooth or something, it connects to this. But you can stream anything from your phone over to the Chromecast connected to your TV. A pretty good option. You can mirror essentially anything on your phone. I tested it with the website, redice.tv/live, the VK app, the Twitter Periscope for watching through there. DLive, of course, the app as well. Anything works with that. So that's a pretty good option. Jeez, I didn't realize my notes were these big. We also have, if you have iPhone, the Chromecast works. There's a few different like screen mirror apps that you can search for. If it works with Roku, that Roku has a screen mirror app to the iPhone, which worked somewhat well. Maybe not ideal. I think there was an audio issue there, to be honest. But Android worked perfectly with Chrome, the Chromecast. That worked. Fire Stick was probably one of the better ones, to be honest. They have their little browser, this one. You can actually use the Silk browser that comes with it, which is pretty good. That way you can just go to any website, you can bookmark it. But I'll make a short video about this, just explaining it really fast, how to connect it, because I know a lot of people, they like the convenience, they want to get it on their TV, and of course with the YouTube app, it's very quick and slick, and you know, it's all figured out, so you know, convenience is the name of the game, right? So definitely try to check into some options. Now, these are like, I think the Fire Stick is around, I think it's around 30 bucks. And same thing with the Chromecast. I think it's pretty much same prices on that. And those, some of those screen mirroring apps, like both for Roku, but also for, you know, for Chromecast and stuff like that, they will cost you, I think, a month, some of them, not all of them. I think Android, you don't have to pay anything. You can just connect it to the Chromecast and it works fine. Same thing with Fire Stick, obviously not. But the iPhone options, they have like screen mirror for Roku. They have screen mirror for a couple of different kind of options. And they will cost you, I think, a few bucks a month, or you can get a pro version, which I judging from it, I didn't buy that yet. But judging from it, you can actually get that for a lifetime. So you just pay a one-time fee. So some might consider that to be worth it. So definitely check it out in case you want to figure out how to get that. And of course, super easy. The DLive app or whatever, that way you get notifications to when we go live. So that's pretty cool. Hey, Woes, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
Am I right? Okay, hi.
Yeah, how's it going? You ready? Or do you
yes.
I can jibber jabber about something else in the meantime. I have a lot of stuff to cover
no,
today.
It's fine. I'm ready now. It's just that the lighting isn't optimal. I apologize for that.
Oh, no worries. You try to white balance it or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's futile. All I don't know why. But I'm very yellow tonight. So.
Yeah, yellow wounds today. Yeah. Well, we've talked about the coronavirus. That might be thematic. So a little bit later. Hey, I would just want to say thank you to you as well for joining us here really last minute. I found out just basically 3 or 4 hours before showtime, Lana couldn't make it. So thank you for stepping up to the plate today, Wolves. I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Awesome. So how you been, man? It's great to talk to you again. It was a while ago.
I think it was millennial when we last spoke. Yeah, since then I've been just preparing other things and helping other people. I've been doing a weekly AMA on my live channel, MW Live, and then I did a conference in Lithuania last weekend. So that's what I've been up to. No regular videos, no normal videos yet, but I'm getting things ready for that. So that there's just so much to do, I can't believe it.
Always
and
is.
And then there's BitChute as well, you know. So they're going to start mirroring things on there as well. So
oh, yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot of good things. You know, a lot of good options, of course, for people that are kicked off of YouTube. Do you feel safe on there? What's your future like on YouTube?
I mean, I always think it's going to happen imminently, and millennial this year won't be on YouTube. It'll be on some other platform. I assumed that last year. I don't know. The purges, it's completely unpredictable. Last year, I think there were two purges, and then in November, Red Ice was deleted. So it's, you never know what to expect. Obviously, the election's happening this year, the US election, so that will undoubtedly cause more purges. So who knows what's going to happen? It's entirely up to them, you know. I mean, I just lost an account on Twitter, the Woz PA account, which wasn't even being run by me. I never accessed it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not emotional about it like I was when I lost my real account, but it's just another, like, you cannot. What interested me about this was, again, it's this monolith where you cannot reason with them, you know. The email, which they didn't even email about it, you know, they just suspend your account.
Oh, yeah.
And so my friend who was running the account lodged an appeal, and that was replied to 5 days later by Twitter. And it said, no, such and such, very cold and impolite. And then it ended with, thanks, Twitter. And I thought, you don't even get someone's
name.
They
don't give a fuck.
You know, it's just like this monolith that you cannot hope to reason with.
No, same thing with YouTube, obviously. So, it's just, you know, they do what they please, yeah. And it's a technology circumvention of even if someone else starts up a channel and runs your stuff, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of, I guess, YouTubes and controversies and stuff like that, I guess we can dive into this. PewDiePie actually returned today. Now, I don't know how much you've been watching his content. I've been watching on and off. It's been fun to watch his little feuds, and the ADL thing was hilarious, was very well executed, whether it was a plan from the beginning or not. I did kind of enjoy it. I thought we could take a look at the first, like, a couple of minutes of that, guys. It was trending on Twitter a bit early. I think he took a 30-day time off. First time in 10 years, I think he said. He had been doing one video per day for 10 years straight. Pretty good. But anyways, check out a little bit of PewDiePie's here.
I have returned. How I make video. Help. That's right, everybody. I have returned. After 1 month of long break, I am back. I broke my 10-year streak of daily uploads.
Not
to
bad.
Go on a 1 month break to do. I haven't done much. It's been nice, actually. Boy, oh boy, has there been a lot of confusion. Wait, first, I have so much to address. I don't even know where to start. We'll get into everything. Everything, every little detail. First of all, what I said in my last video. I know I'm making this a bigger thing than it is. God damn, do I look scruffy. Jesus Christ. Oh God, I still do, oh no! Hey, that's a good first update, beard. All right, there's beard now. We're gonna have to get used to this, that's fine. I'm sure everyone will comment about it anyway. There better not be some huge meme happening while I'm gone, okay? You know, since I was in Japan during the time of the thingy, I bought about 3 boxes of these. I was like, it's gonna happen, I'm gonna die. Not on my watch, not gonna happen.
Oh good, he's getting his masks.
Ting Chuaf, Feng Zhu, Ballet. I've been prepared. Did I just dab? Dabbing is still cool, right? All right, let's get into this video. Sai very kindly prepared a folder called Pewds Returned, and he starts off by adding this in there. Thank you, Sai. It's not even real. Like, if it was real, I understand. Like, why did you add this? I'm just kidding. I appreciate this folder. This is great. Still not as good as Japanese toilets, okay? The biggest disappointment of all time coming back from Japan. Every time I sit on the toilet here, the disappointment hits you. It hits your buttocks. It's cold and it doesn't spray and you have to wipe and you realize that you're the savage and they are the elves, just like the Lord of the Rings. Okay, so what is this? Cooking? I'm not reading that. Delete. Gardening, general, painting. What is this? What have you guys been up to? PewDiePie Submissions is now the biggest Lego subreddit. Lego subreddit? Nani the freaky? That's actually kind of cute. You know, I always wondered what you guys would do. I think I said it. What if I snuffed it randomly? What if Corona-chan got me, you know? What's going to happen to the subreddit then? Well, now we know. Absolute garbage. Thank you. Okay, this is the top voted meme out of the entire break. This is bound to be some really good memes. Cardi, what is on your mind? Xander, it's freaking right. Weird that in order to go...
So at least PewDiePie did mention Corona-chan, which I was kind of... Which means he's been paying attention. I want to play a little bit longer than that, but it's kind of getting a little boring. Have you kept up at all with the status of the Corona? It's about 76,000 confirmed cases in total, I guess. But I think they're covering up the numbers. Don't get me wrong. I actually purchased face masks that PewDiePie showed, the 3M masks. I think it's N95 masks, and they have not come yet. They're completely sold out everywhere. So I guess people are panicking on one level or another.
Look, it's going to sound awful, but it's, as far as I know, it's only fatal to Chinese people so far. Now, obviously, that I'm sorry for them, but it's not something that, because people around me are really panicking about this, about coronavirus, and I don't really understand. I mean, obviously, my heart goes out to the Chinese people who are affected by this, but you know, I'm not getting up the wall about this. From our point of view, being selfish about it, there could be problems to the supply chains and stuff like that. But it's not. Odds are we're not going to know loads of people who catch this and die from it. So I don't want to sound mercenary and ruthless about this. I'm just saying it's not something that is terribly worrying for me personally.
Yeah, there's been supposedly a couple of kind of a cool off period in terms of the daily increases and stuff like that, which I just don't know if it's true, to be honest.
Yes, we don't know if anything that's coming out of China is true.
I mean, no. I think some people have speculated like the numbers could be like 10 times as bad as they're saying that it is. We'll see. It seems to haven't broken out in the way we believed it to first in the West. But the point is they've allowed travel. They have allowed goods come and go. They took a very long time before they actually really closed the borders. I think the other Asian countries around China, they did right away. But the virus can like survive on cold, dead surfaces for like up to 3 weeks, I think.
It doesn't interesting. Matter. It was interesting that Western governments, their first course of action was, it's more important that to preserve globalism. It's more important that we're not racist. It's more important to retain open borders. That's more important than a risk to public health. But they it's incredible that they thought that, but that was their attitude for the first few days.
Oh yeah.
And only after, I don't know, a week, maybe less than that, they changed it. I remember in Britain, they started to quarantine people who were arriving from China. But their first thing was, well, let's not be racist.
That's it. Look at CNN article. What's spreading faster than coronavirus in the U.S.? Racist assaults and ignorant attacks against Asians. So, if you got to let those Asians hug you and cough in your face and sneeze in your coffee.
What do they mean by ignorant attacks against Asians? Are people actually going and beating up Chinese people who might have the coronavirus?
I doubt it, to be honest.
What does that mean?
It's amazing that these and these kinds of articles, I mean, we've covered it now over the last three, four weeks, really, when it's picked up. And it's like, this is the major pressure on like Western kind. It's like, don't be racist. You can't suspect anybody because that's not nice. Don't worry, though. You might be, infected and you might bring it home to your kids. But, it's all going to be worth it. So you don't make an Asian person feel bad. That's priority here.
You might die, but at least you didn't die racist.
Exactly. That's just it. Right. It's amazing. I saw this one too. It's kind of funny. There's a paper. I guess it's an antagonistic paper, really, in the in Denmark. Jyllandsposten has been famous for doing like caricatures of Muhammad and stuff like that. They're kind of, you know, they like this kind of stuff, antagonizing. Chinese memes hit back at Danish newspaper coronavirus cartoon. Totally failed. China takes aim at cartoon mocking the Chinese flag. So Chinese meme makers have hit back at Denmark after a Danish newspaper mocked the mocked the Chinese flag amid the outbreak of the deadly coronavirus. Earlier this week, the Chinese embassy in Denmark demanded an apology from Jyllandsposten, the publication responsible for the cartoon, which caused mass outrage. The cartoon depicted the Chinese flag's stars as encircled microscopic animations of viruses after the deadly flag fires claimed over 100 lives, as well as recorded confirmed cases in several counties. In a tweet compelling the attempt to mock the Danish flag, China's top memes Smith presented their best efforts. Oh, man. I mean, this is embarrassing. This is what they're spending time on right now. I guess this is China here hitting back at Denmark. 4 hours.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, is fancy. This a news story? Is this actually something that people talk about?
This actually happened, yeah. Can you believe it? This is what they're spending their time on. I guess, is this the Danish one? No, there's just more here. More jokes on Denmark here after they've become a little upset. Anyway, that's fun. Good stuff. Hey, guys. yeah, exactly. Let me see here. Let me take a couple of your super chats real quick here, guys, before we move on in the topics here, too. We have a lot of good stuff. We're going to talk about True News here in a little bit, too, and some of the censorship going on as well, continuing that. But Mr. Danger sent a diamond. Thank you, sir. No message. The Real Mother Hen, thank you so much. Great to hear you on Lana's show the other day. That's coming up, I think, Monday or Tuesday, by the way, 3:14. Stay tuned to that. Lana spoke to the Real Mother Hen. She says, Hail Red Ice and Mimish Brunner, I guess she means. Thank you so much. Verbo Tempesta sends a diamond too. Test a diamond, he says. Well, seems to have gone through fine. Thank you, sir. Shroon, Hail First Diamond, ? Thank you, Shroon. I appreciate that. Psylosopher sends a diamond. No message. Styx Rectum Jammer 666 sends a diamond. No message. Shroon, another diamond, says Diamond Pig Pile. Thank you. Styx again sends another diamond. A Ninjagini as well from Big Rich. X14, thank you. He says, much love, brother. Hail, thank you so much. Sure, appreciate that. Always a big, he's a big supporter of the show. BG White sends a diamond. Woes loves stickers in chat. I don't know, maybe. Do you? Are you watching stickers? The DLive chat?
I wasn't actually sure. I thought that it would be on here, but I guess it would make sense for it to be on DLive. So I will go and look at that.
All right. Maybe I'm making fun of you or something. I don't know. I'm just joking. Okay. J-Rod sends a Ninjagini. Thank you so much. No message. Sticks again sends a diamond. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I think we're up to speed there, too. Thank you. And, of course, there's a couple of gifted subscriptions as well from you guys. So thank you so much for that. I quickly also just want to mention, I saw before the show went live here, Conrad K on the Cash App sent a message as well. He sends $10 for, he says, the no-go zone, the show I did Wednesday, was rough, but a vital message for us. And then he sends another message and said, I feel your pain. Don't recognize America anymore, he says. Thank you, Conrad. I appreciate that. Edwin F. sent $30 there, too, and say thank you for, thank you to you, too. So much. Really appreciate that. Thank you, guys. All right. Well, why don't we dive into this? Did you hear about True News? The censorship, YouTube banned them earlier this week. I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Right, I didn't hear about this. This is the first I'd heard about it when you showed me the rundown of the issues. No, that's terrible. How many subscribers did they have, do you know?
I think they were in the 150,000, 200,000 range, I believe.
Right, right.
So it was a bigger channel, Christian channel. Of course, one of the things that they do talk about is they have a lot of criticism. On Zionism, they expose Zionism. They talk about Israel interest, the lobby. They talk about Jewish influence, which, of course, in this day and age is a totally unreasonable position to take. So you saw some replies like this from Rob Levinson. It says, now can we remove it from Twitter? You know, they begin to lobby right away. It's not good enough. to be removed from YouTube. You got to be booted off Twitter as well.
This is what they do. I remember with various people, they'll say, well, you know, they'll approach Twitter and say, well, Facebook have banned them. Why have you not banned them yet? And then, well, Facebook and Twitter have banned them. So YouTube, what are you doing? How can you really continue to host this person? And this pathetic artificial social shaming, like, we're going to have to assume that you are racist and xenophobic and so forth, unless you go along with the bannings. I mean, it's really transparent.
Yeah. And of course, just this with Red Ice, we have, of course, some very nice videos that was made about us and stuff. So those are still searchable on YouTube, which we highly appreciate. Thank you to everyone who did that. And it's more than we expected for those who, like, you know, said something about it, whatever. But it's a similar scenario that if you search Red Ice, you essentially get all the negative stuff. Search for True News. It's all, you know, now this, it is created, they're exposing them, the Young Turks, Trump sent these clowns to Davos, you know, smash, you know, coming down on the poor guys and stuff like that. Now they do have truenews.com. I recommend you to go there. I actually don't know what alternative platforms they are on. I haven't seen them on DLive. I have not seen them on BitChute. I don't think they're on there. I saw some people were kind of advocating for them to get on there. But they do have stuff set up through their website. So just go to trutruenews.com, bookmark that, and watch the show. Support them there. This is what they're doing. Of course, True News was one of the top targets in the latest list that the ADL had released on their website, which they've been nudging and pushing onto YouTube like forever. Get these channels banned, get them removed and stuff like that. I don't think we've seen the end of this by far, Woz. I think there's a lot more to come on the censorship front next couple of months here.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that we're all going to be on BitChute by the end of this year. That's what, you know, my prediction is.
Yeah,
as I say, and especially with the 2020 election. But even without that, you know, it's just a constant slow thing. And as I said when I got banned from Twitter, which is like a year and a quarter ago, what they do is they do it one major person at a time on each platform, Twitter, YouTube, and so on. And then that doesn't generate enough of a backlash. And so, you know, people don't rebel. There's no organized resistance to it. And so they keep getting away with it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no, people don't come together. There's still infighting, there's bickering, there's fights. People can't put their little petty issues to the side, their little egos and stuff. And so you don't get that major organized, or it's the alt-light versus, you know, previously whatever alt-right, you know, so many divisions, so many things. And that's why we're losing, you know, because it's like, there's just not that collected force. You know what I mean?
I think within the British context, I don't feel that we're losing at all. I think that the movement in Britain is actually doing very well just now. But I think internationally, well, definitely in America, yeah, it seems to be far more
shattered. Yeah.
So yeah, for heaven's sake, you can remember what it was like at this point. How many months? We're 7 months away from the next election. 7 months before the 2016 election, it was electric. I mean, all over, like, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere you went, it was just amazing. You know, the buzz, the solidarity, the energy in the run up to, you know, getting Trump elected, basically.
Leadership. I mean, again, look at what a leader it turned out to be. Duh.
I
right.
Know, but still. It turned out to be a false. Right. I'm not saying that we should get excited about Trump.
No. I'm
not saying that. But I'm just interested in it's a very sharp contrast.
Absolutely.
And it's not just because of the deplatformings. It's also because Trump has turned out to be a disappointment. So, you know, why would you get excited?
Exactly.
About him?
What is it left? But it's a good point. And my point of where I'd say leadership is because that shows that if you have a proper something to look at, even if it's a symbol, even if it's not, you know, fulfilling all the things that people project upon a leader, that's why a central figure is necessary, because that rallies all the troops. And even though there could be factions within there, they pull towards a common goal, right? And that's when things can be achieved.
Absolutely. And I think that the interesting thing was that we knew in 2014, like when I started my channel, and you know, at that point, it was kind of just despair. And, you know, my channel was an example of that. And then towards about halfway through, I don't know when Trump announced his presidency, but was going to say his pregnancy. Anyway, I can't remember when he announced it, but from the, basically, there seemed to be direction suddenly. Like, we were all despairing. And then suddenly it looked like there was going to be a solution, just get Trump elected. And that was like, and that's why everyone got so excited about it. It was, you know, on our side, in our sphere, it wasn't because of, you know, the economy or something, Trump will be great for jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
It was something quite profound that he gets it. He understands the deep abyss that Western civilization is in.
Yeah.
And he's the energy that the focal point to create a backlash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so basically we were all hoping that this was the thing that would mean Western civilization could be saved. The boogaloo could be averted. All of the problems could be reversed and fixed and so on. And basically there was no need to despair. And that's why Trump was like, people invested a great amount of faith in Trump, because the problems are so profound. The problems that he seemed like a solution to are so profound. And unfortunately, now we know he's not a solution to those problems. And there probably isn't one. It really is going to be, you know, this century is going to be pretty difficult. It's going to be a challenging, rather unpleasant century in many ways. So there is no quick fix. And definitely not in the shape of Donald Trump.
No, exactly. Look at what
it's a depressing reality.
Yep.
It's
going to get worse before it gets better. But again, I've said many times, you know, it's in hard times that we do great things, and that's where nature is pushing us, whether we want it or not. Now, just as a nod, I guess, to True News, let's cover a couple of things, because again, you know, them exposing this, I mean, they'll be very hard on, of course, on the trail of Trump and just what a failure he's been when it comes to selling out to Israel and all these kinds of things as well. Let's just take a look at a couple of stories kind of in that vein. There's a video from CBS News. Now, it's a little bit longer. We can just play the first few minutes of it to detail that. It's about how Jewish American pedophiles are hiding from justice in Israel. Let me turn up the volume here. Let's check this out for a couple of minutes here, guys.
A CBS News investigation has uncovered a loophole that allows accused and convicted American pedophiles to escape justice by moving to Israel. So Ian Lee has been following this for more than a year, and he traveled to Israel for this investigation. He worked with a group that tracks people accused of sex crimes, which estimates dozens of Americans have used this loophole.
So, you know, he's 6'2".
We are on a stakeout looking for this man, Jimmy Julius Caro, 48 years old and wanted on charges of sexually assaulting a 9-year-old girl in Oregon back in 2000 and a 5-year-old girl in Israel in 2001. He's considered dangerous. But these photos are a few years old, so we don't know if he'll look the same. He remains elusive. Previous attempts to capture him have failed.
Obviously, the fear that he would somehow figure out that anyone's looking for him and bolt. He just called his number.
Shauna Aronson got a tip that Caro's expected at this clinic near Tel Aviv.
Who's going to call the
police? She's with JCW, Jewish Community Watch, an organization that hunts down accused pedophiles who flee to Israel from the U.S., exploiting a process called Law of Return, whereby any Jewish person can move to Israel and automatically gain citizenship. The ease with which pedophiles seem able to use this law as an escape route haunts victims like Mendy Hawk, who says he was abused from age 8 by a teacher at an Orthodox Jewish school in Los Angeles.
So your classroom is right here. How does it feel being back?
I was very anxious and, you know, stressed coming back here. A lot of memories coming through my mind.
Memories of his alleged abuser, Mordechai Yom Tov, who taught him Hebrew studies when he was just 8 years old.
So in the beginning, he would just rub me like outside of my pants. And then I would say about 3 to 4 months later, he started going like in.
Reaching down your pants?
Yeah, it's reaching down.
Why did you feel like you couldn't tell anyone?
I was scared. I was ashamed. I mean, I just didn't know what people would think of me, of the whole situation.
Yom Tov pled guilty in 2002 to sexually abusing and committing lewd acts against 3 other boys. He served jail time, but when he was released, he violated his probation and, according to JCW, fled to Israel with help from individuals within the Orthodox Jewish community. JCW tracked Yom Tov down and confronted him with a hidden camera in Jerusalem, where he admitted to illegally fleeing the United States with help and using a fake passport to enter Israel.
I was supposed to stay for 5 years in the same city. I was supposed to take John Young Cyprus. I was supposed to go every 2 weeks to the police station. I left within a week later.
He had this message for his victims.
I'm very, 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 very sorry.
The other person in this video is Mayor Sewald, the founder of Jewish Community Watch. He tells CBS News Yom Tov's case isn't uncommon in the Orthodox community.
Yeah. The same thing. I think that's enough. About 3 minutes. You guys get the idea, right? Think of it. Think, what was if another country had this kind of thing, right? With the criminals. And in this case, the worst kind, pedophiles, could escape justice, go to a country that would take them in and house them. This is their ethno state right here, right?
Yeah, of course. It's. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we don't talk about on YouTube, so I'm not quite sure what to say.
Well, that's why we're not on YouTube today, so it's
fine.
Yeah,
indeed. So,
we're free. We can talk about Jewish pedophiles.
Well,
go deep.
I mean, it's obviously ridiculous, but right. I don't know what to and what can be done about it. You know, this is, you would have to get our governments, you'd have to pressure our governments not to tolerate this kind of thing, like not to let them go, and then, or to have extradition treaties with Israel. But then Israel can always just say, no, these people are Jews, they're Israelis, whatever. But really what you'd have to do is, go for the organs of the power centers in society that are that enable this kind of thing to continue. I mean, why is this being allowed? Why is this being tolerated as it is?
Right. Yep. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, I saw this too. just again, True News. You know, the things they talk about. Right. I saw this one too. It could be interesting to play. Imagine if another country taught their kids to do this. Now, I saw it on Twitter first, and it had been removed. And the video was uploaded, I guess, a while ago to YouTube, and they claimed that it's false. Now, it could be. Could very well be, although I know that these kinds of things have been taught and it's not completely out of bounds. But this channel on YouTube claims that the Palestinian Authority, a TV channel, has performed libel by showing that Israel teach school kids are getting taught that Israel is the land from the Euphrates to the Nile, right? It's the actual why they have two strips of blue on their country or on their flag to show the boundaries of the country. It's short. Let's just take a look at it anyway. Check this out. Yeah, so they claim it's fake, but you know, again, imagine another country doing something like that, teaching the kids we have a much bigger territory than what we actually, already have groveled up for ourselves.
Well, I was just going to say about while that was playing, it occurred to me about the previous thing, which is imagine if some, you know, Gentile went to Israel and molested Jewish kids and then just evaded capture by going back to his home country.
For European country or something, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and right, first of all, the Israelis wouldn't stand for that. And our own countries would absolutely extradite us back to Israel to stand trial. There's no, I mean, it's just unthinkable that Britain wouldn't do that.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like they not only get a pass, they're like everyone is looking the other way for the kind of stuff that no other country would get away with, right? And that's the point. That's why True News is censored, because, you know, they expose a lot of this stuff. They expose what happens around Trump and all the people there and stuff like that. Here's another one from The Forward today. I guess we can go into the debates and the Democrats' candidacy, the caucuses and all that kind of stuff. Leading into this now, but The Forward says Jews stand ready to define the politics of the most powerful nation on earth. We're not in the shtetl anymore, which of course there weren't any shtetls ever in the in the US. I don't even know what they mean by this, but Bloomberg of course was premiered here a few days ago on the debate stage, and he was actually getting did you catch any of that, by the way, Wos? I don't know if you're watching it, the debates.
No, I'm not. I'm just hearing the highlights from other people.
Yeah. It was a disaster for Bloomberg, let's face it. It was he was not doing very well. Everyone was dogpiling on him. They're trying to get this guy out. Obviously, he has a lot of money. He has paid his way in there. And I didn't realize how short he was. He was incredibly short. I think he was shorter than Bernie, even. But this is an interesting clip that came out in the wake of this. A lot of things have been exposed with Bloomberg when it comes to like his supposed how he targets blacks and non-white people in New York and stuff, gun violence. He's been actually very candid about some of that stuff. He said, well, this is just what the crime statistics say.
Yes,
we should stop. But did you see, catch some of those clips?
I did. I saw that.
Right.
And I thought, well, you know, I didn't see when he's made those statements, though. Do you know when he made those statements?
That was, I think, when he was mayor, I think. So that's four, I might be completely wrong in the chat, maybe you know, but four or five years ago, maybe?
My God, it's the kind of thing that no one would ever say now.
Maybe it's 10 years ago. I could be wrong on that. If anyone knows, let me know. But yeah, but this one, so, you know, a lot of people saw those and heard those. I just saw this one, though. It's kind of taking it into a really heavy and deep and difficult area, but I thought I just wanted to mention it real quick because sometimes you can agree with these people, but sometimes for the wrong reasons, but sometimes they say things which, you know, the rest of the liberal order dog piles on these people and pushes them away. Now, this is, of course, extremely, you know, cold-hearted and horrible to hear this kind of stuff, but it's interesting how candid Bloomberg has been in many regards. Maybe that's the reason why they're pushing it out. Maybe it's because of clips like this that he is completely, totally unelectable. But here he is talking about how healthcare essentially will bankrupt the U.S. unless we deny care to the elderly. Let's listen to this clip here. It was going around Twitter. Almost 3 million views this clip had. And he's talking to some kind of Orthodox Jewish community here. Let's listen to this.
And what things they can fix right away. You know, if you're bleeding, they'll stop the bleeding. If you need an x-ray, you're going to have to wait. That's just, and all of these costs keep going up. Nobody wants to pay any more money. And at the rate we're going, healthcare is going to bankrupt us. So not only do we have a problem, it's going to bankrupt us. And we've got to sit here and say which things we're going to do and which things we're not. Nobody wants to do that. You know, if you show up with prostate cancer and you're 95 years old, we should say, go and enjoy, have an ice cream, lead a long life. There's no cure, and you can't do it. If you're a young person, we should do something about it. Society's not willing to do that yet. So we're going to bankrupt us, and we're not looking at what things...
Okay, it ends right there. Let me pause. Very interesting, isn't it? He says, essentially, I mean, the healthcare system is overburdened in the U.S. It's in most other Western countries as well. And for a long time, there's been discussions, how do we fix it? What do we do? Very interesting how candid Bloomberg is about that. Like, if you're 95 years old, if you have, like, prostate cancer and come in, he says, we can't do anything about you. There's no cure. And instead he said, we should target young people instead and make sure that they're provided for. And I saw one response tweet to this, and unfortunately it's been removed now. I saved it down, like, 2 days ago, and or saved the link, but it's gone. It was one of these, like... liberal women, and they were like, yeah, she was like, yeah, he's right. I mean, at what point do you, you know, at what point do you bankrupt your own system? At what point do you prioritize younger people? It's a very interesting and super hard question, but most of the people replying, they were just outraged at Bloomberg, and just like, this is disgusting, we should give, you know, they were talking about empathy, they were talking about we have to do everything we can for everybody. But ironically, like, my point was, if you're bankrupting the system, at what point do you begin to prioritize younger people as opposed to old? Do you follow my line of thinking? It's not
absolutely.
You know,
I'm not outraged by this at all. You know, I mean, it depends on what kind of system you have. If it's private insurance or if it's socialized, whatever. But ultimately, I mean, let's assume it's going to be. I'm guessing that because they're talking about the healthcare system heading for bankruptcy, they must be talking about the socialized part of it, right? The government, the state funding of it. But either way, if there is a finite amount of money, whether it's private or socialized, if there is a finite amount of money and someone does show up at 95 years old with prostate, with cancer, I'm sorry, but I'm with Bloomberg.
That's it. I realize that too. And again, you got to put it in. It's not that it's right. And it's like, yes, I agree. Yeah, it's horrible.
There's no nice option here.
But, no.
You know, if someone's 95, they have had a good innings. And I doubt most of us will live to 95. So if we're using that extreme of an example, then of course you should concentrate resources on the younger people.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, again, it's like at some point you can have empathy. but you can't, you might not have the money, right? That's how, that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Look at, like, the US is $23 trillion in debt. I read a, yes. I think it was last week or the week before, I read a Zero Hedge article. It was essentially saying that, yeah, Medicaid, Medicare, and the social security for old people, I forget what the name is for it again. These, all these systems are set to be bankrupt within like 10 years, 15 years,
social
something
security,
like that.
Social security, isn't it? Social security.
Yeah, that, I think that's what it is. And it was like, everything is going down the toilet. Like, what do you do? Yeah. You have to make a choice, but right?
Here's the thing, right? When these systems were put in place, and this is also true of the NHS in Britain, when these systems were invented, medicine wasn't nearly as good as it is now. So people weren't living to 95. They were living to like 70 or 65 and dying. So the idea was that and also medicine wasn't as expensive as it is now. I mean, for heaven's sake, 100 years ago, medicine was, you know, some rudimentary instruments and some ointment. And that was it. That was
some leeches.
That was basically it in terms of resources and equipment. So nowadays you're talking about $1 million machines. And many of them will be involved in the course of any one person's treatment for any one condition. I mean, the costs are astronomical. And this is why I always think it's ridiculous. You know, when people say, well, we should abandon like the NHS, for example, and the poor will be taken care of by charity. No, right. They will not.
No.
You know, and they'll say, well, it worked 200 years ago. Yeah, it did, when the cost was a bunch of leeches. And some ointment, you know, it doesn't cover an MRI scanner. Things have got much, much, like exponentially more expensive, healthcare. Now, that's because it's become ever more sophisticated and ever more effective and good.
And it's also of an iceberg, woes, that it's like education for becoming a doctor is outrageously expensive, right? It means that they have to have huge salaries. And then, of course, you have a corrupt medical pharmaceutical industry on top of that, which is just when I extort people, make as much money as possible. So it doesn't have to be this bad. But my point why I bring it up, just in the context of Bloomberg and what a disaster he's been actually brutally honest on certain issues, which has been surprising to me. And
yes,
and
the
things like
the race and crime thing, and now
right,
this.
Right.
So he's being punished for being too
honest.
Realistic.
Yeah, he's a straight shooter essentially. I mean, I'm sure he's like corrupt and all this shit. He's made billions. I'm not trying to just like lift up the reputation of the guy. It's not that. But I'm just saying things like this have slipped out. And what makes this worse, I think, quick comment about this before we move on, but what makes it even worse is, of course, when a country begins to move away from becoming a homogenous country, right? When you have a multi-ethnic, maybe even multi-religious country where things like this begin to happen and they can't afford to pay. That's when the blame game will set in. That's when racist charges will set in. That's when this shit goes nuts. However, if you look back to like an old system like in Scandinavia, just to put this in perspective, right? Just to say, there was a time when elderly people, and again, there is a brutality to this, right? But it was like they were in touch with nature. They knew what the score was. You can't just, regardless of what we think, we can't just forever print money to help people. At some point, we're going to take the blunt end of that. But this is what they did.
It's Bloomberg advocating this.
isn't it, right? There was the kin precipi in ancient Scandinavian society, specifically in Sweden. I went to the location where it's believed that this actually was as well. And it was essentially when older people became a burden on the society, their clan, their people, they decided to say, you know what? It's much better we take this and reinvest the effort and the resources and everything you have to do to take care of me to put that towards our kids instead, you know, or my grandkids or something, right? It's a very interesting thing that, I mean, this would never work today. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that our mentality has changed so dramatically where there is no willingness for anybody to take that decision. Do you see what I'm saying? Of like saying, I understand that this costs resources and stuff, you know?
Yeah, or self-sacrifice
as
well.
That's but again, in a multi-ethnic society, never. I would never agree to something like that, you know?
Well, absolutely. And this is the whole point with multi-ethnic society, multi-racial society, multicultural, whatever. People don't want to make sacrifice for the rest of the community because the rest of the community is not there. People, it's not their kind, so the rest of the society. So we know this, it's obvious common sense, but it's also borne out by, you know, Robert Putnam's studies and the subsequent ones that have affirmed his findings.
Yeah.
So we know that people don't self-sacrifice as much in in diverse societies.
They're in it. They're in it for themselves, right? They're in it for themselves.
Yeah, and again, you have to be. It's a natural human instinct,
right?
And also, the other thing is that, and relevant to healthcare and so on, is that they're not going to make as much money in tax from certain types of people as they would have from high IQ European people.
Right.
So how the hell are they going to fund the NHS or any other socialized medical system? You know, once half the population are not European.
Right. Exactly. And again, sorry for the podcast audience here. Or those of you who didn't read it yet, what I pulled up here is the thread on something called Ättestupan, which is the clan or kin precipe. It is essentially a place where old people went and they threw themselves off of it when they became a burden on the rest. And they did that, of course, for the betterment and health of others. Obviously, we would never see something like this today. I'm just putting it in context in terms of what has happened, that we don't have a society anymore where the younger don't invest in the older, and therefore the older don't invest in the younger, right? This is a loop in itself. We've lost all these things. And at some point, no matter how much we want to take care of everybody, and no matter how much we want to give everyone free healthcare, whatever it is, right? These issues now. I mean, everyone on stage on that Democratic debate, like a couple of months ago, when asked, will you give free healthcare to every single illegal immigrant? All of them raised their hands. They said, yes, we will do that. Like,
yeah,
that is insane. Yeah. That is insanity, right? I mean, you're going to bankrupt everything.
It's insane. It's totally insane. It's like it's like Merkel in Germany. Basically, there is no limit to how many people can come in. And that means there is no limit to how many people's healthcare and education and God knows what else we're going to have to pay for. But right. We will do it because there is no limit. It's utter insanity. And, you know, America used to be this country of, you know, rugged individualism where mm-hmm. people stood on their own two feet and all that. And I thought when the Democrats said that, every single candidate said that, it's really amazing because it signals a complete sea change in the attitudes that they now think their supporters have. You know, all these Democrats all over America, that party is now confident that they're all pro. The age of individualism in America is over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff. Actually, we'll talk a bit about, I think it was NHS a little bit later in the show here. It's pretty interesting. I wanted to play this while we're in the U.S. still. Here's Senator Mike Lee, who lectures white constituents about that it's racist not to import taupe Mumbai wage slave over white German. The poster here, Penelope Maynard on Twitter says, German wasn't a haphazard choice. Imagine believing one damn thing such a scumbag politician tells you. Let's listen to this here.
Immigrant visa simultaneously. Immigrant A and Immigrant B.
I mean, assume for purposes plug of this up here.
That Immigrant A and Immigrant B have identical resumes. They have identical family circumstances, identical incomes, identical background check, identical non-risk of any type of lawless behavior in the United States or terrorist activity or anything. The only difference between immigrant A and immigrant B is that immigrant A is from a smaller, less populated country, let's say Germany, and immigrant B is from a large, heavily populated country, let's say India. Immigrant A, in my hypothetical, will get his visa probably within 12 months. Immigrant B is going to be on a waiting list for probably 20 years. This is wrong. This is a law that dates back to the 1950s, and I hesitate to use this word, and I use it very sparingly, but I'm going to use it here. It's racist. There is no good reason for us in this day and age, in 2020, to be allocating visas on the basis of, with respect to otherwise identical, would-be employment-based visa holders, on the basis of their country of origin. But a few decades ago, when we were making these decisions, we had people who said, look, we don't want too many people coming from any one country. In my view, that was probably code for we don't want too many people who don't look like us. That's wrong. We gave up that kind of thinking a long time ago in this country. That's all this bill does is get rid of that. As to your point that there's a backlog, yes, there's a backlog. Why? Well, because people from India have been having to wait for 20 years compared to identically situated Swedes and Germans who get theirs in a year. So yeah, there's a backlog. But this deals with that backlog by phasing in the implementation of the new rule. But it does not increase the total number of immigrant visa holders who come here on an employment-based visa. There are a lot of rumors on the internet about this bill. A lot of them are lying, and a lot of them make utterly false accusations about this bill. It's a good bill, and it needs.
Now, can you imagine these maniacs who just want to open their borders to like a billion Indians that if they want to come to America, they should? And even, well, imagine the high IQ, educated, skilled ones that are there to replace the American workers.
Well, let's look at that, right? Because he's saying that they're all two identical people in all attributes except their country of origin.
Right.
Well, here's the thing, right? The high IQ Indian, let's say like 120, 130 IQ, well, he's a real rarity, a massive rarity in India, where the average IQ level is 80, I think it's 83 or 85 or something like that. By contrast, the Swede, the average IQ there is 100, 101, something like that. So he's not going to be nearly as much of a loss to Sweden as the Indian guy is to India. So
right.
Even on that altruistic level, it's selfish.
It's true. It's brain drain. These are the people that they need to uplift their own population and increase to help improve the country. But instead, we have a system that a globalist system that claims that we should solve poverty, we should do all these things by importing. And I mean, don't get me wrong, we're not in every case is getting the best ones from some of these countries. Regardless, this is the argument, right? But imagine that, bringing all the doctors and the engineers to our countries. And then leaving them in the dust, hundreds of millions of people, right?
Well, yeah, and
it's true.
Yeah, you know, there is no, and then, and I just talked about the altruistic aspect of it, but also, frankly, this is exactly why we have to assert identity politics for ourselves, because any economic argument can be turned against us. And actually, Keith Woods made a really good tweet today. Let me see if I can get it for you. Hold on. It was, all right, as soon as you start debating the economics of mass immigration, you have already lost. You have already conceded that even your identity has a price. You have ceded the qualitative to the quantitative. So there is only one acceptable response, fuck your GDP. So I agree completely with that. And this is the whole, I mean, I made a video way back when I started in 2014, immigration, why economic arguments are pointless. And it's stuff like this, you know, we don't want to get into this, the nitpicky grounds of talking about, well, whether they're a drain on the system or not. That shouldn't be the first issue. The first issue should be, do we actually want our ethnic group to be replaced in its own homeland?
Look, even if these people would come to make our country 10 times richer, to get, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want it. Obviously, it's not about that.
Yeah.
It's exactly. It's about the fact that it's our country. It's us. It's for our people. That's what it's for, and that's who we should be for. Even if we were this is not the case, of course. But even if we were the downtrodden, we couldn't lift ourselves up by our bootstraps like we did historically, or whatever, create all these things, or be innovative, or you know, even if that was the case, I still would not want that because it's us and it's ours, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. And one of the tricks of our opposition is to get us into talking about arguments like this, economics, whatever, because then they can win. You know, they always turn it, and they win disingenuously as well. I mean, I don't believe for a second that mass immigration from the third world is good for our economy. It's just obviously
no, of course not.
True.
No.
Of course it isn't. And we, you know, common sense would tell you it's not true. And the lived experience tells us it's not true. So we know it's not true. But nonetheless, they can fiddle the figures and, you know, twist the arguments and so on to make it look like it is true. Like, for example, in Britain, they'll say, liberals will say, well, immigrants benefit the economy. But they don't separate it to third world immigrants and European immigrants into Britain. So you can, you know.
Look at these stories. From Der Spiegel, right? Strict immigration laws saves Denmark billions. Denmark's slightly stricter immigration laws have saved the country 6.7 billion euros. This is back in 2011. A government report has claimed, even though Denmark already has some of the toughest immigration laws in Europe, right-wing populist politicians are now trying to make them even more restrictive. Well, it's because they're saving money on it. So actually, the economy actually is in our favor at the end of the day anyway, but it shouldn't hinge on that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, the only way that the economy would be benefited by mass immigration is if it were coming from, you know where, I mean, other European countries.
Right.
Or Japan.
Right.
That's it. And it's not. It's going to, well, you know, in the case of Britain, it's coming from Africa, the Middle East, and so forth. Sorry, no. And I'm fully aware that there are high IQ, capable, decent, talented non-white migrants. I'm just saying that they're more
they
used
should to stay their in their own people. Country. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, I know people off that exactly as I've just described who moan non-stop. You know, they're, in theory, they're the model migrants. They stand on their own 2 feet. They don't live on the dole or whatever. That they should. The liberals would call them model migrants, the perfect migrants. And yet these people are. They hate us. You know, they have deep-seated racial animus against white people, not just because of the Marxists in the culture telling them that, but also because it's just a historical grievance about the British Empire or whatever.
Right.
So yeah. All of this, this is the stuff that, you know, I was saying in 2014, you were as well. And I think at this point, it doesn't even need to be said. I think it's becoming so obvious. It's becoming the new common sense, I think. Certainly on the internet it is. That's obviously not real life. It's a cross section. But still, I think that a lot of the stuff that we were sort of trying to hammer away at 5 years ago is now it's
surfacing.
Becoming obvious.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. No, I always said that too. Is like, and I don't say that to be to toot my own horn or whatever. But it's like,
oh,
I've been like 10 years ahead of things usually. Like the areas that I move into, like. You know, and then usually like around 10 years later, yeah. That becomes a little bit more of a circulates a bit more in mainstream circles. Even the conservative parties and stuff, they start bringing up points and talking points, which we talked about 5 to 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't, boasting about my own role in this or whatever, because, that's not the point. The reason I brought this up is to sort of just note the irony that we're now living in this age where things which would have exasperated you and me 5 years ago... I find them less exasperating now because I think that the public in general are becoming ever more aware of it.
Definitely.
Really, every argument that we presented back then. I'm not saying the fight's over by any means. I'm just saying I feel like we are succeeding all over the place. It's certainly in the British context. There's just a great feeling just now.
Now, this argument, of course... which he's making here. I've seen her before, this activist. She's super anti-Anglo, right? She's the one who I think proposed to even removing Anglo-Saxon from the dictionary or something like that because it was white supremacists using it. But again, yeah, migrants to this country bring more and contribute more in taxes that they take. And this is to paint the conservatives and who she perceives as right-wingers into a corner because they have stated, they have things where they say, well, race doesn't matter. It's not about that. They might commit to say, well, culture matters, right? But they can't even say that culture is downstream from ethnicity. But still, it's to paint these economic right-wing conservative forces into a corner.
Sevnak nonsense.
Yeah, to paint him into a corner and say, well, if race doesn't matter and if it's an economic boon, which you are for, then you have defeated you on this grounds. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Once, if you persuade them to be a Sevnak, then you can defeat them easily. It's only if they care about ethnic identity that all you can do then is call them a racist or Nazi. Makes the liberal look like an idiot.
Yeah. It's true. All right, let me go through a couple of super chats here, guys, real quick before we move on. Shmuel Goldschlong sends a ninja genie and says, Hail Sieger, Hail Victory, Sieg. Well, he says that same thing in German, too. Can I say that on DLive? I don't think so. Anyway, we get the idea. Hail Sieger, or victory. He says, "Brother, hail victory, brothers and sisters. Remember, make beautiful white babies." Absolutely. I can commit to that message, Shmuel Goldslong on DLive. Thank you so much for the Ninja Guinea, sir. Very appreciated. HM1 sends a diamond and says, good to see you, Woz. Smiley face. A couple of subscriptions are handed out by Shekelman Noseberg. Thank you so much for that, sir. Really appreciate it. Big supporter, good mod over on DLive. Shroon sends a diamond and says, the more they censor, the less reason to use YouTube. Absolutely. It's dying. It's dead. It's going to be over before you know it. My view, it already is, but it takes a little bit of time for a huge platform to die, you know?
I mean, yeah, and obviously we don't want to be too cocky about this or too complacent, but, you know, in the case of Twitter, I'm still on there. I use it every day with a sock account. It's never going to be the same for me as it was when I had my real account. So for me, there's always a sense of detachment. You know, I don't feel like it's that important anymore to me. But just in general, the platform of Twitter and YouTube, but let's talk about Twitter, just doesn't feel as relevant as it did. It doesn't feel as worth, you know, it's not as important because we know that no free debate can really happen on there. They're just waiting for an excuse to ban anyone who's not pro-globalist. So it just feels like a sort of runaround. It feels, I'd really just use it to have a laugh and keep in touch with people.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's... And it takes a little bit of a kind of getting off of it, like the dependency on it, the addiction to a certain extent to these platforms as well.
Oh, like I was definitely addicted to it. I mean, that's, you know, when I got banned, it was like a junkie on withdrawal, you know?
Right, exactly. And I just remember, you know, not posting videos on YouTube, but starting going to BitChute, and it felt so weird and bizarre, and I don't like this, and it's like, you know, uncomfortable. And then now it's like, it's great. There are some issues, of course, and they're working on that. They improved, for example, the processing speed, which I really much appreciate. Used to take hours and hours and hours in some cases. Then they were aware of the problem. I think they fixed it about 3-4 days later, and now it's much quicker than it used to be. They are going to come with live streaming. There's things they're working on. It's going to be a very good option, actually, yeah, to YouTube.
I told you about the shootouts thing they're going to do. They're going to directly replace, well, I think they are, they're going to directly replace Google Hangouts, which used to be an integrated part of YouTube. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, let me continue here, guys. Shroon, yeah, that was a come from Shroon, thank you. Shmuel Goldschlong again, since a diamond. To no love first, no hate, use them both. Well, they're both emotions. There's nothing wrong with them. We have them for a reason. I tried to say that many times. I was like, what they're trying to do is outlaw human emotion, essentially, which is insane. You have them for a reason. Thank you, Gold Schlong. I appreciate that. Big Richie times 14 or X14, whatever you go by, he says, congratulations to all the new parents in the chat. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. He also sends another diamond. Says, press H for white babies. Hervard Silvati sends a Ninja Gini and says, starting a channel, can you two please recommend open source ? Software, hardware to use, other advice. You're talking about editing? I mean, I use Premiere to edit the videos. Otherwise, if you're talking about live streaming, that's a different thing. If you're going to do live streams, OBS, I guess, is a pretty good open source option. Do you have any recommendations, Woz, on that? Oh, you're there. Can you hear me still?
Yes, I was just attending to something.
Oh, no mind.
Sorry, I was. What was it you asked me?
Oh, it's just, it was someone asked.
Editing software.
Yeah, do you have any recommendations for open source software for starting a channel?
I don't know any. I wish I could help, but this is something I don't know about. In terms of audio freeware, there'd be Audacity. It's good.
Yep, that's true.
In terms of video editing, I know that a lot of people just use Windows Movie Maker. So give that a go.
Do they have that still? Is that still updated?
I think it is because I know that Mark uses it. Mark Collett uses it for all his videos. Jeez. That's what he uses.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I just remember there's so many issues with it and bugs and stuff that kept crashing, and maybe they've improved.
He proudly told me that he'd worked out ways of getting around all its limitations and making a video that looks really good.
Nice. Well, there you have it.
It is impressive.
Windows Movie Maker. Go try that out. Other advice. Just don't expect too much and persevere. Consistency, don't expect to be a star overnight because that's just not going to happen. So just keep at it. Do it because you want to do it, not because you want some recognition for what you're doing. You'll be fine.
Yeah, if I were to give advice to people starting out, it would be audio quality is much more important than video quality. So
true.
Get a good microphone.
Absolutely true. Yep.
I use the Zoom H2N microphone. I swear by it and tell everyone to get one of those because it's so useful. That's what I'm using right now. It's not the best audio quality. You get a Blue Yeti, that would be even better, or an XLR, that'd be even better. But this one's good enough for me, good enough for most people. The Zoom H2N. In terms of a camera, you know, any mobile phone nowadays, the in the last few years, the picture quality will be more than good enough for YouTube. So that's what to do. And then just record the audio separately with the microphone. Other tips, keep each video fairly short and keep it on one topic only. And if you do live streams, keep them to one topic and less than an hour long, I would say.
Yeah,
for people starting out, you know.
Exactly. No, that's all very, very good tips, actually. Okay, let me go through these real quick here because there's a lot of other stories to cover. We might not even get to them all here tonight, but that's fine. Yeah, Head of Art again, Sons of Diamonds. This won't be same content to yours, but I admire professional look. Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, if you can't afford it, of course, I do Premiere. I know it's like a monthly fee for that or whatever, but it's a really professional software. It takes a little bit to learn, but it could be good. Otherwise, I actually don't know if there's other open source like editing suites out there beyond...
Just Google it. I remember doing this for someone else about a year ago. I Googled this and you get a list with 10 different free video editing programs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can get a review copy of some of them too if you want. If you catch my drift. BG White, Sons of Diamonds, says they use pedophiles for shock value. Interesting take on that. Yeah, BG White against us a diamond. Imagine all the other crimes they run from as well. Well, I mean, exactly. It's not the only thing, but it's bad enough on that alone with the pedophiles fleeing to Israel. Thank you, BG. I appreciate that. Head of Art against us a diamond and says, in my day, it was Adobe Premiere plus Final Cut Pro. Yeah, I mean, again, both are good. I haven't run Final Cut Pro too much, Head of Art, but Adobe Premiere, I definitely recommend that. That works great for me. Last Paleo Constance of Diamonds says Bloomberg is a typical finance capitalist. Well, exactly. How we made his money. Last PaleoCon again. Sense of Diamonds says Henry Ford was a manufacturing capitalist. And again, Last PaleoCon says, which do you prefer? Well, obviously Henry Ford, but because of his mental awareness of the situation too, obviously. But it, in one way... I mean, as long as you have people that look out for the best interest of their people, then I don't care, frankly, if you're leftist or a right winger or a capitalist. As long as you have our best interest for our people first, then it's fine, you know, not money or not some political ideology. Anyway, Mr. Wright sends a Ninja Gini. Thank you so much, sir. No message. Head of Art again says, Dutz Stadning, death cleaning. Being less of a burden. Yeah, you meant the Ettestuban, the precipe, the kin precipe, exactly. Thank you, Hervard. Mr. Wright, a diamond. Actually, he sent 1, 2, 3, 4 diamonds in a row. Thank you so much. Shroon sent another diamond, too. It says, I had to buy more shekels. You mean on D-Live? Well, thank you, Shroon. And he sends another diamond. It says, read the Talmud. The hatred goes back 1,000 years. Thank you for that. XO2. Sends a Ninja Gini and says, family, friends, folk. Absolutely. Kiss Kardashian sends a diamond and says, homestead nationalism. Indeed, that's very good. More of that coming up, by the way. The interview that Lana did with the real mother hen, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. Thank you, Kiss, for that. Appreciate that. Head of Ward again sends a diamond and says, thanks for the advice, especially mic advice. Whoa. So, yeah, that's very important. Very good advice.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, the solution is the Zoom H2N. It's very simple advice to give, so I give it to everyone who'll listen. I mean, but lighting is, someone commented on in the live chat that I look yellow. Yes, I do. I apologize.
You tried to fix it before we came on. I saw that. He was scrambling.
I did. I was scrambling around trying to fix it.
Yeah.
I'm using a cheapo webcam. Actually, I'll tell you, it's the Ausdom webcam just now. That's what I'm using because I found that my own camera doesn't sync well with live streaming. So, my proper one. So that's why the pitch quality isn't great, but I think it's good enough for live streaming. So here we go. But as for lighting, there's a really good ring light that I've got two of them here that can do different types, do different colors. So those are very useful. Just I think they were like $50 on Amazon. So that's what I would recommend doing. Unfortunately, I'm not sure what's going on tonight, but something is not quite right. So I apologize for the yellow hue.
We appreciate you, Woz. Yellow or white, you can be any color. Enjoy the show. It's fine. Oh, nice.
No comment.
All right, guys. We have a couple of more to cover here real quick. Guys, you're sending too many super chats. We can't get to the topics. I'm just joking. I appreciate the support very, very much. Thorium1 sends a diamond. It says, DaVinci Resolve is best as a free software. Name the nose man, LOL. Well, we do all the time. DaVinci Resolve, I think, isn't that Black Magic?
Yes.
Their
yes,
software,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, I've heard some of their stuff is pretty good. I've never tried it. Kids as well, Cardassian sends a diamond too and says the same. DaVinci Resolve is definitely the best free video software. So there you go. Check that out. I've never tried it. I think I installed it once and very briefly or something, but I just, you know, I was too used to Premiere at that point. Thank you for those tips there, guys. We have a couple on DonorBox. Hey,
I've managed to get rid of the yellow hue.
Oh, it's there we go.
This was on the warm setting.
Is it a bicolor LED or something?
Yeah. And then you can go to the white setting, which is like that.
Nice.
So there you go. I'm no longer yellow, and I'm no longer suffering from coronavirus.
There you
or
go.
Anything
yeah.
else.
No yellow fever. Okay. Oh, that's great. Awesome.
Definitely not.
Couple of more here quickly, guys. James R. on DonorBox sends a message. Keep up the good fight. Your work is vitally important for our people. Truth and nature are on our side. Absolutely. Thank you so much, James, for that. I appreciate your comment. Double Dog, when were you planning on letting people know that not a single employee of Red Eye Studios has a Young Turks training certificate? Well, we're trying to work on that, Double Dog, believe it or not. we'll see what we can get out of that. But it is true. We covered it in Weekend Warrior. It's funny. They have an academy session where they're getting six figures together by YouTube to develop an educational plan for like cover local news and stuff like that. We'll see if we can cover some of that from the inside, if we can make it in. We'll see. Thank you, Double Dog. Appreciate that. Glenn Chinaman sends $30. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. He says, if you're feeling angry about what's happening in Sweden, use it as motivation to hit the gym. Strength and honor. Absolutely. He's obviously referring to the No-Go Zone show that I did Wednesday. Guys, tune into that if you can. A very difficult show to do, but very necessary. I agree with that, Glenn, as well. So thank you for that. Gotta toughen up. What can I say? The only thing you can do. Pam sends a message on DonorBox as well. $10. She says, I just want to let the membership know I am here. Well, thank you so much. We and all members appreciate you. Thank you so much, Pam. And let's see here. What else do we have? Double Dog sends another one. It says, seriously, though, if you're a kid and no one taught you to fight, don't overthink it. Left and right hook, lightning fast into their skull until they stop moving. If you have any primordial nightmare in you, use it. Well, exactly. Thank you, Double Dog, for that. Brad Gremba as well sends a message. $50. Thank you so much, sure. He's a huge supporter of the show. Always donates so much. He's super generous. Thank you, Brad, so much. He says, Freedom Shekels, as he always does. It says, tagline. Thank you, man. It says, awesome seeing you and woes two of our legends. Well, thank you, Brad. I really appreciate that. Now, let's move on. Woes. Otherwise, we'll never get to it. Sean King, white man who claims he's black, stars in Bernie Sanders ad. I actually haven't seen it yet, but I do want to take a look at it. So here we go. Bernie Sanders.
Bernie resonates in places where Trump won.
Even if it's a Republican, sometimes you'll hear, well, you know, I still really like Bernie Sanders.
Here's the thing. To win this election, you have to win the Electoral College. And Trump won 30 states in 2016. And he won in places where Bernie actually crushed it in the Democratic primaries. Bernie won 71 of 72 counties in Wisconsin. Trump won there. Bernie won every single county in West Virginia. Trump won there.
They can be a hardcore Trump supporter. I like Bernie Sanders. He's honest.
Donald Trump exploited real pain and problems in this country and began to scapegoat African Americans, immigrants, other marginalized communities, LGBTQ folk, as demagogues always do. And Donald Trump, as a con man, began making promises that he never intended to keep.
Universal health care.
I am going to take care of everybody. Everybody's going to be taken care of much better than they're taken care of now.
And Bernie said the Democratic and Republican establishment has failed people all over the country. And people feel that failure and take it personally. Donald Trump understood that and exploited it for his own gain.
Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people.
People were so agitated and frustrated and felt that this guy actually believed in them, when in reality, it was just a con. And so you have millions and millions of white folk in this country who voted against their own self-interest. They need an elimination of medical debt. They need equal access to health care. There are rural communities all over this country where hospitals are closing down. There are counties all over the state of Tennessee where there's nowhere to deliver a baby. When Bernie wins this nomination, Bernie's going to take this fight to Trump in all 50 states and fight to win the hearts, the minds, and votes of everyday people all over the country.
All right, Bernie's latest ad, I guess, with what was his, Sean King. Not too strong. I don't know if this, well, not just you know, Orange Man bad, is Orange Man racist. It's not. I mean, that they tried it last time. I don't know if that's going to work. I'm not that impressed. What do you think, Woz?
I just can't believe that anyone takes Sean King seriously. I mean, he's obviously white. He's obviously not black. So it's, he's obviously lying, and. And then he keeps going even after it's been reviewed. I mean, of course, it just amazes me that he has the audacity to continue to claim to be black. When you've only got to look at him, it's just, it's absurd. How does he get away with this?
I mean,
have you any idea?
How do you get away with wooden doors if they just do it? You know what I mean? You know, they just say it and then it's so, and the majority of people will believe. And authoritarian voice, you know, it's true.
Well, as for what he said, he just seems like a complete joke to me.
Yeah, no, so, I agree.
You know, he's obviously a white guy, and he always keeps his head like almost shaved in order that because he doesn't want it to reveal that his hair is obviously Caucasian. It's obviously European.
I wonder if he shaves that straight line like every morning, you know what I mean, to get it that very straight like that.
who knows it's right. An obvious fake of a guy, but anyway, as for that advert that we just watched, I don't really have any, it didn't make much of an impression.
No, I was very boring, actually. I think they will snub Bernie again. I mean, he's in the front lead. It's him and Mayor Buttplug, right? It's those two. And I do think that if the DNC would let it naturally go, I think Bernie would get the nomination, to be honest. But I think they're going to snub him again. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. The parallel in Britain would be when Jeremy Corbyn got control of the Labour Party, and the establishment of the Labour Party did not want him because he was too radical and too popular, with at least with the party faithful. And but he was actually offering something other than the centrist globalist sort of milquetoast option.
Yeah,
and so I think in the same way with the, which actually isn't that left wing in some ways, it's very ruthlessly capitalistic. So Corbyn was offering something that was, it had good and bad in it from our perspective, but at least he wasn't like a Tony Blair just corporate shill or like nightmare sort of guy. I think in the same way, Bernie Sanders offers something that is not. Like, it's not the nightmare of Hillary Clinton. It's something that there's some honesty to it. You know, I mean, she is utterly fake. She's ruthless and vicious. And she obviously is just a complete globalist, like working for nothing but that. Bernie Sanders, in spite of his origins, does actually, I think he does care about the American people in some way.
He's more authentic than all the other ones, for sure. I mean,
yeah, authentic. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say about that? Is that, am I wrong or what?
No, I mean, I think, but I also think that the DNC are like, no, we're not going to have like a communist run because it will be too extreme. You have that kind of more like moderate, like, no, tone it down. And they still, remember, these are politicians at the end of the day. These are people that take kickbacks, they're bribed, they're in the pocket of everybody. And I'm sure, obviously, Bernie has his issues too. But he's a little bit, I mean, he's anti-war, right? Maybe he would actually do something about that. He would actually pull out troops or something. He's a little bit too unpredictable, a little bit too unstable as one end. I think it would be good for America just to drive it completely over that cliff, to be honest. Just accelerationist a little bit. Like, I think Bernie would be more interesting than Trump, actually. And it could be interesting to see, kind of in the same way, Trump, what happened to Trump, right? I think that there was a streak of genuine, concern and stuff in the beginning. Eventually, though, the people who control and pay for things, they got their claws into him. If he wasn't a setup from like the get-go, which is, of course, possible. But I think same with Bernie, that it would be a shock if he got in, and then it would take, you know, 6 months, and then they were like, this is what's happening, dude. Like, just take a back seat. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, in the case of Trump, the Syria thing was like in the April, I think. So he'd been in for only a few months. And I think that was, I think by that time, they'd got him under control.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right.
So, yeah, it was scary.
Speaking of other presidential candidates, or the nominees, I guess, on the Democratic side, Andrew Yang, $1,000 in the bag, get the bag guy. The transhumanist, the robots are taking over, watch out for automation guy, joins CNN as a political commentator. Andrew Yang, who entered his long-shot Democratic presidential bid last week, has joined CNN as a political commentator, the network announced Wednesday. Interesting. Yang, who's Kyoksikt, do you understand that word? Sorry, I don't know what that means.
No.
Kyoksit presidential campaign. It's
quixotic.
What is that? It's my my vocabulary doesn't extend as far in English.
I can never remember what that word means.
Anyway,
I'll look it up right now.
All right. Presidential campaign was characterized by a catchy slogan such as "Make America Think Harder."
Impulsive. It means impulsive and often rashly unpredictable, but also extravagantly chivalrous or romantic, visionary, impractical, or yeah, etc.
Interesting. Let me just move a couple of these
unorthodox.
Over quick. Unorthodox. Gotcha. Okay, let me just do this real quick before we move on here. Anyway, we can have Andrew Yang to look forward to on CNN. Of course, they have some really, really stellar people over at CNN to give us the message and give us some of the truth. Hey, let's play this one. It's a fun little interlude here. Teens caught on camera donating clothes to a local mall.
Just before you go into that, I'm being informed that it's from Don Quixote or Quixote. It must be Quixote. Has to be. And I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm being accused of being illiterate and so on. Yes, I am.
Like Don, okay, Don Quixote?
I'm sorry.
Like the book?
Oh, Quixote.
Don Quixote?
Yeah.
No, I know about that. I just haven't, didn't see it in that context before.
Comes from. Yeah.
Ah, interesting. All right. Well, thank you, chat. Cleans things up for us here. All right. Here we go. This is very wholesome. Watch out. Not every day you see, clothes being donated to a local shelter or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, I saw this when it had like 100,000 likes. It's now got 500,000. So
is it that bad? Oh, Jesus. Okay, yeah, it's going around. Speaking about viral videos, here's another one simply titled Pray for Our Youth. Check this one out, guys.
Can you name any country on this map?
Honestly, my geography is so horrible. I can't name anything. Like
try
nothing.
Naming something.
Is it South Africa?
Nope.
We have the country of Asia.
Nope, that's a continent, and that's Russia.
Oh, damn. I'm silly.
That's okay.
It's been a while since I've been in school.
That's okay. Any country on the map?
Africa.
That's a continent.
Country, damn it.
How about a country in Africa?
I know South Africa's over here somewhere.
No, it's south.
Down here, yeah.
Yeah, it's south.
Oops.
Can you name any country on this map?
Yeah. Africa?
That's a continent.
Oh, God.
Can you name any countries in Africa?
God, no. Who knows stuff like that?
Can you name any country on this map?
Yes. Africa.
That's a continent.
Oh.
Yeah, I have to interject. It's very interesting that it shows how Afrocentric things are, because as dumb as these people are, they all know Africa, don't they? They can't say Europe or North America or anything, but they know where Africa is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they don't even know. Like, the most obvious one would be Italy, which is the boot shape, you know, and you'd think that people would just go straight for that. It's the obvious one.
Or like Australia, it stands out.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I know some of these are kind of, you know, they're kind of dumb and they choose their dumb people, but honestly, I think this is what's happening out there, right?
Yeah, like that last woman looked quite bright, and yeah, she didn't know anything. It's amazing, really.
Wow. Let's check out the rest here.
Greenland or Iceland or something?
That's Alaska. Any country.
No, no.
And on the entire map.
This is so horrible.
Where's America?
I would say the big one, but I'm probably wrong.
You're definitely wrong. Okay. Can you name any country on this map?
Oh my gosh. Shouldn't I be taught this in school?
I would hope so.
South America.
That's a continent.
Oh my god.
How about a country in South America?
Yeah. Honduras is here. Somewhere here.
Can you name any country in Europe?
Is this one Europe?
No.
This one?
No. Can you name a single country in Africa?
Was this Africa?
No, again, that's South America.
No idea.
Can you name a country in South America?
Okay, this is South America.
Yes, can you name a country in it?
No, I can't.
Did you go to high school?
Yes.
Did you go to college?
Yeah, that's a sad part.
Now, isn't it great, Woz, that one man, one vote, that these people are actually, they have the same say in like politics and world making judgments or decisions like everyone else does. It's like
I have to say though, I don't want to ruin the spoil it or anything, but it's very possible that in between these dumplings they also got people on who did know
sure.
lots of countries and
yes,
just left
of
out.
Course, I mean, I recognize that. Yeah, no, I recognize, yeah. and they love to do this kind of stuff, and I know they love to show how people are dumb and stuff like that. But yeah. I don't think they faked them, nonetheless. I don't think they had actors.
I just want to believe that most people did know at least one country. Surely,
yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. But again, if this is anywhere near a norm, well, it also kind of shows that, like, yeah, you need you need a benevolent elite, right? Like, just, you know what? We got to do this because this is best.
Yes,
sometimes.
Agree.
You know what I mean? It's
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Decisions, I mean, someone making the calls. Because
sometimes the public do get it right, but it's rare.
Yeah.
Know? So it happens almost by accident. You know, most of the time, the public are directed by the media, and you know, the media are whatever.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily the best leaders. So
no.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, it's I don't have any faith in democracy, really.
Yeah, it's it had a run there, and maybe when people were educated, it worked, and maybe when people knew what they were voting for, everything, it was worth. And now, and at the same time, I'm not like one who's also believes that you therefore should dumb down things just to make it like palatable so these people can understand it. It's always, I mean, this is the norm these days, though. It's the lowest common denominator where everyone has to adapt to like the worst, the bottom rung.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, as you say, a benevolent elite would be probably the best.
As long as they actually truly, and this is of course the difficult part, because but we've not had that in, well, I don't know how long, almost forever. Occasionally it has happened that you actually get leadership that are like, you know what, I'm going to do something that's actually good for our people for once. You know, we're going to just put smart people in place that look at the truth. They look at what reality is, and they make decisions accordingly. And yeah, you might not have a say in everything, but, you know, it would generally be good. You know,
I would say at the end, well, probably this changed at the end of the 19th century. I'd say up until then, maybe even the start of the 20th century, our elites were mostly on our own side, I think. That might be naive of me, but I think from what I can see, that they weren't genocidal maniacs. They weren't trying to replace us. They weren't working against us at every opportunity. They weren't silencing our voices, etc. I think they broadly wanted the best for their countries.
Yeah,
but I think the course of the 20th century is the course of that being completely subverted and destroyed.
Yeah, I mean it's in the can now. It's complete in shambles. Everything. Speaking of which, check out this story here, and this is of course concerning, I think it's the NHS. Yeah, exactly. NHS doctors can deny treatment if patients have the wrong political opinions. Can include homophobic, sexist, or racist remarks. So the story here from WND, which says doctors have been told by those who regulate their profession that they can deny treatment to patients who have the wrong opinions about just about anything. It's happening in the United Kingdom, where the National Health Service is expanding the authority of rules that that already and logically allow doctors to decline to provide non-critical treatment to patients who are violent. But the expansion is raising eyebrows. At the Twitchy side, which aggregates Twitter comments, was the headline, "But healthcare is a human right. UK's NHS has decided that staff can refuse to treat patients who make homophobic, sexist, and racist remarks." Now, I remember this from Canada as well. They were doing something similar, where someone had said something. I think someone like wanted a white doctor or something like that. An older white woman is like, "I want a white doctor." And I think they went on to deny her service at the hospital. Have you heard about this?
That wouldn't surprise me at all. That would be, in fact, I would expect the police to be called to something like that, you know, because you're effectively being racist in public. You're being racist towards someone else. So I would expect that to be a crime incident in Britain.
Exactly. And Sky News reported new regulations that will go into effect in just weeks will make big changes. Currently, staff can refuse to treat non-critical patients who are verbally aggressive or physically violent towards them, the report said. But these protections will extend to any harassment, bullying, or discrimination, including homophobic, sexist, or racist remarks. Now, add to this too, Woz. Imagine that you have an older white person or something coming into a hospital, and it's primarily non-white in there, and he does something the wrong way, or they think he's doing something which he maybe is not, or he has a bad day and maybe he's rude or whatever, or say something dumb. That will be, of course, filtered through racism, right?
Yeah. What I would say is we should be trying to make that situation not come about in the first place. We should not want an elderly white guy to be in a situation where he has to go to a hospital where most people aren't white. Most of the staff aren't white. That's just not, that in the first place is not a good situation for us to allow to develop. Also, once it has developed, once an elderly white guy is in a hospital where most of the staff are non-white, well, look, they already deny treatment, as it said, to people who are verbally aggressive or physically violent or whatever to the staff. And I think that's probably quite right. If a patient is like that to the people trying to treat him, I think he probably should be ejected in some way, as long as it's not going to kill him to be ejected.
But what if it's like a schizophrenic person or something, though? Or like they actually yell at people or something?
Yeah, you know? Then they would have to be sedated or something. I don't know. But the point is that this kind of stuff is going to happen. This kind of scenario, this kind of situation is going to crop up in any multi-ethnic society.
Right.
This is just another example of why you don't want a multi-ethnic society in the first place. So I don't know. I think that doctors, nurses should not be abused in their jobs. But I understand why you're bringing this topic up. I'm just saying, I don't think they should be abused. And if it's going to happen because of different races, then the answer is let's not have multiracial societies in the first place.
I agree. But again, to put it in context, Britain, like many other European countries, they virtually have open borders now, right? And you can extend care to people who come. You can literally have terrorists or people who hate the country that they come to or hate the population of the country that actually was kind enough to let them in. If you're native, though, and say the wrong things or have the wrong thought, they could bar you. I mean, this is the time that we're in now.
Yeah. But the other thing is, what kind of person is it who's going to be verbally racist towards a non-white doctor who's trying to treat him? It's going to be some kind of fucking idiot, frankly. So, I mean, I'm sorry to be crass,
look at how they're flinging the accusations already, and it's not, in some cases, it isn't true. That's my point. They feel like this person sneered at me wrong. This will just be expanded, blanket.
Yeah. Exactly, and I completely agree with you there. That in that case, they we've seen it happen already. You know, the supposed explosion in hate crimes. It's just they're expanding the definition so that everything becomes a hate crime.
Yep.
And yeah, I agree. You will get hospital staff who just say, "Well, that guy looked at me in the wrong way. He was clearly being racist.
Yeah,
towards
he's
me.
Racist.
He was clearly having racist thoughts towards me." So,
yep.
But you know, in the real world, how often will that that nurse be taken seriously when they say that, you know?
I
don't know. It's definitely something you don't want to develop. But the answer is, in the first place, don't have multiracial societies. So we should be trying to, again, we should be bolstering our own sense of identity so that our people will no longer tolerate these situations developing.
No, absolutely. And I mean, this, what we're doing here with stories like this is we're essentially just kind of looking at how the paint is breaking up or falling off the railing of the Titanic. You know what I mean? Like, we're heading for an iceberg, shit's going down, and now we're like, look at this problem over here. And it's like just a tiny thing that, you know, it matters, of course, in the bigger picture. But you know what I mean? It's like, this is just not these things are not the root of the problem. Just as you say, these are just small symptoms, and these things will pop up in any virtual scenario. Yeah. Every different facet of life, you will get crazy shit like this happening as they're trying to solve racism. It's essentially a threat, right? It's saying you better behave or else we'll do, you know, we'll cut you off from XYZ, right?
Yeah. So our response to this should be to, much greater than this, it should be, no, we don't want to be outnumbered in our own homelands, because these little scenarios are the kind of shit that we're going to have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, where we're getting accused of being racist or whatever to someone just because we're white and they think that they can mess up our day for us.
That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Church of England. That might have to be our last topic. I'm going to go through a couple of more Super Chat guys after that too. A couple of things to respond to, but I wanted to cover this because we have you here as well, of course, keeping an eye on the situation over in the UK a little bit. Church of England issues apology for past 70 years of racism. Now, imagine, just put it in context, would you have any other religious authority in any other country outside of countries founded by Europeans do anything like this? Islam or Judaism or Hinduism or something, right? The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, the most senior member of the clergy, stated that the church remains, quote, deeply institutionally racist after decades of mistreatment and shutting doors to minorities. So now they're issuing an apology. What's your thoughts on something like this?
Well, you might want to look into the Archbishop Justin Welby, his early life. That's my first comment on this.
I didn't know also too much about him, actually.
Yeah. Just partially. It's just stupid. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just another cucking. You know, my feelings about this are far more clear cut than that NHS story that we just addressed. I think this is just another example of the Church of England capitulating and being like competing with the Labour Party to be the more progressive social institution.
Okay, so it's just like it is in Sweden. We actually have one of the Bonnier family that became the head of the church in Sweden, which of course is not of a Christian background at all. They're actually from a Jewish background. Interesting. Welby's maternal family, they go through it here in the thread, right? Let me see if I missed it here. Early life and education, it said something about it here. I just found it. I read it a second ago, and then it just went away.
So Gavin, the middle paragraph.
There we go. Welby. There it is. Yeah. There
was the son of a German Jewish immigrant.
They changed their family name to Welby shortly after the First World War broke out. Well, there you go. Oy vey. Kind of explains it a little bit, doesn't it? One thing there, I guess, slightly based on still, though, is Church of England releases guidance saying sex is for married heterosexual couples only. According to an article in The Guardian, the Church of England has issued pastoral guidance that says, quote, sexual relationship outside heterosexual marriage are regarded as falling short of God's purpose for human beings, unquote. It's amazing that can be controversial when that's actually what their book says.
Yeah. You're actually adhering to the book.
My God, I can't believe it.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, where did this come from?
As I say, you know, the story of the Anglican Church, the Church of England, over the last 70 years, has just been constant capitulation on on one social issue after another. So I am surprised that they're doing this. Actually,
wow, amazing. The guidance is a response to recent introduction of mixed sex civil partnerships in the UK. I, again, They might stand their ground for another year, but wait until the lobbying sets in and, oh my God, we'll cut your tax, you know, whatever it is. And then eventually in a year we'll read from, oh, okay, now it's fine, right? Now, sodomy, according to the book, it's sodomy, but we're just not going to, we're going to ignore that. And we're going to say it's totally fine. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yes, I would expect them to cock on this issue as well, for sure. Yeah. Within a few years.
Hey, a couple of quick ones here, too. We can sneak those in before we do the last Super Chats and wrap up here. New York City-based fashion college apologizes after a catwalk show was labeled racist. Now, have you seen a clearly racist New York City fashion show prompts apology? I mean, I know that the fashion world, they try very hard. They try different things and whatnot. But what the hell is this? What is this?
What is this supposed to be?
Oh, man. Huge ears. Big lips. Did you ever see Asterix and Obelix? I think it was named the same.
Yeah.
They had one of these old depictions that were kind of similar to this. Huge lips and, I guess, big noses.
Well, they're huge ears. I mean, they're like a couple of car doors open.
Now, I sincerely don't know what's going on here. Like, what... Models were asked to wear prosthetic ears, lips, and bushy eyebrows for a collection run by fashion design students at the event in Manhattan. The accessories were criticized online after an African-American model said she would not wear the, quote, clearly racist, unquote, items at the event on 7th of February. The Fashion Institute of Technology said the matter was being investigated. Well, there you go. We're investigating it, folks.
Are they racist because the ears are, you know, designed for a white person, so it wouldn't look right in a black person?
That's got to be it, right? Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
But...
They should have thought of that. I mean, that's terrible they didn't make brown variants.
That is true, exactly. If they had brown ears, maybe that would be better.
The only way that could look more ridiculous is if the person was white. sorry, African.
Oh man, this is pretty good stuff, though. I must say, they're trying. I mean, the fashion industry is trying. And again, while we're on that,
how is that racist? I mean, who's got big ears like that?
I don't know. I don't know. What is it? What are they trying to achieve? I mean, I've seen
who's got the big bushy eyebrows.
Well, hang on. This here now. This is the new beauty standard. I inserted this here because we've talked about this lady before. Models have to make their mark. And model influencer Sofia Hadjipantelli has done just that with her signature unibrow. She's the founder of the hashtag unibrow movement on social media. Recently landed the cover of Glamour UK and was a fixture at London Fashion Week this season. So is the again, it's kind of close, or at least the eyebrows, right?
Yeah,
the lips, is it not? Look at this. Here's some choice images here, Tom. Now, I've seen the media try to push this as like the next beauty ideal.
Right. Okay. I don't think it's going to take off. I think this is just absurd. It's, sometimes you see this in the fashion world. They'll do something that is just for the sake of novelty and shock value.
Right.
It's always just attention seeking. They can't think that people are like that catwalk with the big ears and all that. They can't think that anyone is ever actually going to dress like that. They can't think that any woman. I mean, this just looks absurd. This looks like something that's been photoshopped.
I think it's real too. That's what's so bizarre about it.
I think it is, but it doesn't. It looks absurd.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. No. This is the statement I read on Vice. I just want to show a couple of more of the images here. That she's a big hot thing. This one. You know, this is from Page Six Style. I mean, imagine that. Like, you know, it's like going from the bottom up there. Jesus! Imagine encountering something like that. Wonder how the other bush looks like.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can read here from Vice. I just want to sneak this in right here at the end. Vice says the following. At first glance or prolonged oogling gaze, Heidi Patelli or whatever her name is a mix of like Carmen Electra, blah, 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 blah. They say she is drop-dead gorgeous, embodying the pinnacle of all typical, even hyperbolized Balazai's traditional Western beauty standards add a long mane, big eyes, small waist, great ass, and perfect lips, teeth, skin, and cheekbones. And then, in the center of her face, a big metaphorical fuck you growing out of the dark follicles that connect her right and left eyebrows. So they think this is a big fuck you statement to the beauty world. That's what it is. We've solved it now.
Right. Okay. Well, people are revolution.
Oh boy.
It's just not for me. I can't believe that any guy on earth finds that attractive. That's absurd. It's like a Thunderbirds puppet that's gone wrong.
Look at that.
It looks terrible.
Jesus. Wow. Yeah, don't pluck it. Just, it's normal. You know, now it's fine. Now it's nature knows best in this case, right? you can't control it. All right. All right. Let me do a couple of these super chat guys and then we'll wrap up here. Pretty quick, but yeah, let's do this real quick. Michael's57DE sends a Ninjagini on DLive and says, I'm a Red Ice member. I use the Android device. Full screen doesn't work when watching, listening. I didn't actually try just on the Android device alone, but I do know, as I mentioned early in the show, if you do it with a Chromecast, I just tried it yesterday on Android with the Chromecast, and maybe you don't have one of those, but then it worked fine. I could pull it up on my TV. In full screen. That might be something you want to try out. Otherwise, I'll have to look into that more and see why it doesn't work in full screen. That's an update that has to be done. So thank you for mentioning that, Michael. I actually haven't tried it in full screen on an Android. BG White sends a diamond, says David Hogg did an anti-gun Bloomberg ad for the money. I haven't seen that yet. We have to cover that maybe in Weekend Warrior coming up. Globo Dono? Michael Kuhnberg versus Bernie Asperger's. Two sides of the same. Well, exactly. ASA1G sends a diamond. It says Bernie won those states against other leftists. I think he was doing pretty well, wasn't he? Thank you. Harvardi sends a diamond. It says that Bernie ad low energy. SAS ad agency did it. Well, yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask what was about that, but there's no time to cover it here at the end. We got to wrap up before at the top of the hour here. Global Dono again sends a diamond. It says Pete. Penis breath Buttigieg. Indeed, thank you, sir. Psylosopher sends a diamond, no message. Thorium 1, Australia is a continent too. LOL. Well, that is true. Absolutely, it is true. It's one of those rare cases where it's both a country and a continent, right? Nordic Prince sends a diamond, no message. Shroon sends a diamond. License to drive a country. License to drive a country or county, I think he says. Sorry, I forgot what that was in reference to. I appreciate it, though. Shadow Gov sends a diamond. Was Bobby Fischer right about everything? Yeah, maybe he was, huh? I think that could be the case, right? Herivard sends a diamond. Geography vid, maybe role learning, not all bad. Thank you, Herivard. He sends another diamond. It says, woes, it will be functioning. It will be functioning creep regarding NHS. Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm just saying that on the basis of, well, let's not get back into that. it's complicated. But I'm on, like, I'm not, I know, I understand. I am on your side.
Yeah, exactly. No, I get it. Thank you, Herbert. Mr. Distraught sends a diamond. Good things we import. Good thing we import all those doctors and engineers. Well, exactly. So we gotta have them in the hospital so they can tell us we're racist and deny service to us. Hedvard sends a diamond and says UKIP voters were stopped from being foster parents. Really? I didn't know that. That's interesting. Well, it's horrible, but it's interesting that they've gone there far.
Yeah, that happened in around about 2014, 2013. It was quite a while ago now, actually.
Wow. But
yeah, remember that.
Okay, Kiss Kardashian sends...
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it actually happened in Rotherham. I'm not sure about that, but I might be mistaken, but yeah, anyway, yeah, go on.
Head of Art again sends a diamond. Said, what did Woes get kicked off of Twitter for? I think it was just saying about race statistics on violent crime, essentially.
Oh, right? My main account, my real account, it was, I said, black men are more prone to committing violent crime than white men are.
Yeah.
And that lost me my main account. It had 22,000 followers. Jeez. Gone. I loved it as well. But anyway, that's a long time ago now. So as for the Woes PA account, which I wasn't running, I didn't access it. But that, I think that got reported by someone. I know who it was who did it. It's someone on our own side, actually, disappointingly.
Oh, really?
And I think he probably told Twitter that it was me who was running it, and I'm banned. So it was ban evasion. And so they shut that account down. I think that's what he told them. I don't know.
It's funny how usually the shots come from inside, behind, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Yeah.
Kis Kardashian says Le 56% model. I think she's Cypriotic, Greek, and UK, I think, yeah, the model. Kis Kardashian sends another diamond, says Mark Unibrow on your cringe bingo card. Yeah, exactly. You have something for your cringe bingo coming up, Kis. Appreciate that. Hervard sends a diamond again, says ears plus eyebrows is it's anti-Vulcanite. They kind of look like a Vulcan, you're right. Hervard, another diamond. Eyebrows, I blame Brooke Shields. She has pretty bushy eyebrows too, doesn't she? Shroon, LMFAO, laugh my fucking ass off, indeed. BG White, Woz knows nothing about fashion. Yeah, exactly. All right, I think that's it. Woz, plug your stuff right at the end. We got to wrap up. I have another thing I got to get to. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Plug your stuff.
Okay, thank you very much for inviting me to do this, Henrik. I appreciate it. It was enjoyable. I'm going to be doing... Henrik is linked to my main channel on YouTube. I've also got the MW Live channel on YouTube, which Henrik, I've sent you the link for on Telegram, if you could add that somewhere. And tomorrow night, I'll be doing an AMA, and then again the next night, Sunday night. And I try to do them every Sunday night, an AMA lasting one hour to 2 hours. And so they're quite good. And so that's where you can find me, on the main channel on YouTube and the MW Live channel, and on BitChute as well. These are all linked from millennialwoz.com. So I'll be there round about the same time tomorrow night and on Sunday night on MW Live. Thank you.
Fantastic. Woz, thank you so much again for coming on. Let me go over here so we can see each other. Thank you so much for coming on. I promised to be on another show top of the hour. I'm 2 minutes past already, so I'm going to wrap up really quick. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. Take good care, and we'll talk more soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. See you later. Thank you. All right, guys. That's it. Thank you so much. Quick wrap up here at the end. We'll see you guys very, very soon. Weekend Warrior coming up. Check out redicemembers.com. Thank you so much, everyone out there, for super chatting, for your generous donations, all your memberships, all the good stuff. We'll see you guys soon. Take care. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern age. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.